Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Got to talk a little bit about this Packers football team. Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Limig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bill. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, are you caught up in all the Game of Thrones stuff and the Avengers stuff, being the watchophile you are?
So, I kind of do a couple weird things with this, Bill. So, I'm through Game of Thrones up through last season, but I'm actually going to let the entire Game of Thrones season conclude and then binge it. And I have all of the Game of Thrones words and characters and names muted on Twitter, so I don't accidentally see it. And I did the same thing with Avengers Endgame. I muted all the words on Twitter because I would rather watch a movie at home than at the theater. So I have to avoid spoilers for the next 4 months there as well. So wish me luck.
I was going to say, that's a little out of control, isn't it?
It's a bit much. Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask you, right now it's very quiet. No news is basically good news coming out of Green Bay. It's guys are coming in. You've got the undrafted free agents showing up. Everybody's starting to absorb things. This is where, you know, a lot of your installation for what is about to happen starts to come in, right?
Yeah, no, it is. And this is where I think you kind of start to establish a culture. And I think what makes this offseason so unique is that for a lot of rookies, of course, you're getting a new culture. And for the free agents and the other guys that you bring in, of course, in the Ted Thompson era, free agent acquisition was few and far between. But you always had, like, a stable force. You always had Mike McCarthy there to set a tone. You always kind of knew that Ted Thompson would be off scouting and never really a part of it. So there was just, like, a normalcy to it. So all of the returning players knew really what they were getting themselves into. And it wasn't a surprise. I think one of the most interesting things that Matt LaFleur has to conquer this offseason as he becomes, you know, the leader of this franchise, at least from a coaching perspective, is that this, he doesn't just have to, like, welcome the rookie class. He doesn't just need to establish culture for the young players and the new players. He needs Rodgers to buy in. He needs Devontae Adams to buy in. You know, he needs Bakhtiari and Lindsley and, you know, you name it, all of the returning guys who have been here for a long time to buy into what he's doing and not just sell that culture to a bunch of rookies, you know, and a couple free agent acquisitions. So it's different, Bill. I mean, we are officially very much so in a new era. And I think when you look at and you say that the most tenured member of really this new regime, at least among the key decision makers, and I won't include Mark Murphy in it because I think he'll step aside a little bit now in terms of football operation stuff. But Mike Patton, second year defensive coordinator, and Brian Gutekunst, second year GM, are really the most tenured non-players here. And I think it's why people are going to end up looking to Rodgers more than ever, because who has more tenure with the Packers than Rodgers?
Right.
Nobody. You know, like Gutekunst has been with the Packers forever, but he was, you know, back when he started, a pretty low-level scout, you know, working his way up the totem pole. But, yeah, I mean, when you start a whole new regime like this, a whole new era, it really adds another level of interest to you know, to the kind of the culture stuff that you try to create in that first couple months.
Looking at this, because they did pick up an extra running back, you know, we always know that the durability of a running... Now, Aaron Jones came in completely buff and ripped up. He looks like he's put on a few pounds and he's ready to go. Do you see the running game becoming, as LaFleur wants to run the football, do you see it becoming more and more or not?
I do, and I think it has to, and I think he knows that. And you and I have talked about in the past, and it's certainly worth repeating, go back and look at Drew Brees, especially, over the last 5 years, and how much differently Sean Payton has run the ball and run the offense in general to kind of go through the run game more. And it's why Ingram was so necessary there and why the emergence of Alvin Kamara was so important to what Sean Payton was trying to do in New Orleans. And so I don't think that the run-pass differential in Green Bay under LaFleur is going to be as drastic – as it was in that last month of the Tennessee Titans season, because you certainly didn't have Aaron Rodgers, and you probably had a running back, especially in Henry, who, you know, is at least as good as what the Packers have, if not better, at the running back position. So I do, though, Bill. I think, you know, and this is where the challenge comes in, is Matt LaFleur can call running plays all day. But if he is giving Rodgers the freedom at the line of scrimmage that Rodgers had in recent years under McCarthy, then, you know, your whole game plan goes to hell really quickly, doesn't it? Because if you go in and you want to say, hey, 55% run, 45% pass, if the game goes our way and we are in control of the game, that's what I want it to be, and all of a sudden six plays get changed at the line of scrimmage and that 45-55 gets reversed, or all of a sudden you're throwing the ball 60% of the time because, well, you gave Rodgers the freedom. So that is a really interesting balance, you know, to try to strike with Rodgers, and that is, listen, man, we go look at what Drew Brees did. Look at Drew Brees now in his age, well, he's about to play his age 41 season. You can still play at a really high level if you let me run the offense, if you are okay with running the ball when it's called. And again, do they have the horses at running back to do it? Aaron Jones needs to stay healthy. I think Jamal Williams needs to take another step in his development. And they need Dexter Williams, their sixth-round pick, to really contribute right away so that they can be spelling in, you know, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams and not killing those guys so that they're still fresh by January. So I think it's absolutely pivotal to not just this season but the next 5 years of Rodgers' career that, yes, they need to run the ball.
Do you feel that this pass game is going to be how do I put this? It's going to be as good as it has been in the past. Do you think that there's a rediscovery of where this thing can be? When it comes to Davante Adams and Geronimo Allison and the wide receivers that they have, or is this still going to be a work in progress, say, for the next 2 or 3 years?
Well, this is not the Sports Illustrated cover of 2012. You know, this isn't Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, or Michael Finley, Donald Driver. This isn't that group yet. It might become that, but when your second most tenured receiver is a former undrafted fourth-year player in Geronimo Allison, and then your, you know, 3 through 5 are second year guys, none of whom were drafted earlier than the fourth round. And in fact, your fourth rounder is, you know, the lowest on the totem pole among them in Jamon Moore. You know, I know a lot of people are really high on Jay Kumerow, but that's, you know, he has a fight ahead of him, I think, to make the team. I think that's a fair thing to say. I don't think this can be, you know, what it has been yet. It's going to probably take another couple of years, if the Packers are fortunate, for Valdes-Scantling or Equanimeous St. Brown or for Geronimo Allison to take a huge step in his development. But there's another piece to it, too, and that is the tight end piece. If Jimmy Graham has a 2019 season like 2018, you know, people are going to continue to scratch their heads about all the money that was spent on Jimmy Graham, unless, and this is what makes that third-round pick so fascinating, unless Jay Stoneberger comes in and lights the world on fire and, you know, lives up to some of the, you know, overhypedness of, you know, oh, he's the new Travis Kelce, which I've seen a lot of national writers speculate and hype him up to possibly be. Now, maybe he won't be that right away, but, you know, these are the guys that need to catch the ball. And it's kind of why, you know, Bill, when we were having the conversation about, if you're the Packers, would you rather have a T.J. Hockenson-style tight end where you can line him up inside and you can really depend on him to be a really good blocker and you can line him up just about anywhere? Or do you go more of the Noah Fant route, which is what the category that Jay Stoneberger falls into, and that is, listen, yeah, he's a tight end, I guess, sort of, but he's a receiver. And if you can get him implemented, maybe that's what takes the receiving group as a whole, not just the wide receivers, but the pass catchers as a whole, into the next level. But it'll take time. There's too many young guys in that room, inexperienced guys in that room, to expect, you know, 2011, 2012 style production from the passing game.
Biggest need coming out of this season, do they need to be better defensively or better offensively?
I mean, is both a total cop-out answer? I mean, Matt LaFleur is, you know, we don't know yet for sure exactly how it is, but we knew that under McCarthy, he was the head coach, yes, but he was the offensive coach. And he probably put too much trust and faith and confidence in Dom Capers for all those years and didn't spend enough time with the defense and making sure that the defensive players knew that, you know, that he's more than just the offensive coach. And so Matt LaFleur needs to make sure that this offense turns around. I mean, what will probably, like, be the difference between this team being a Super Bowl contender and a non-playoff team? You can't have Rodgers have a 2018 season and expect to really, truly compete. You need him to probably still be Aaron Rodgers. But the defense, Bill, is just, I mean, again, we're still talking on paper. But if you were to tell me that I could have on paper the roster defensively right now, or the roster any point over the last 5 years, it's right now. This is my on paper. If I was in Mike Pettine's shoes, or even before him, Dom Capers' shoes, and I could have picked any defensive group of players over the last 5 years, I'd have to be convinced pretty hard that it wouldn't be the current group on paper, because they've invested so many first and second round picks in recent years. They invested $100 million on day two of free agency. So they both, Bill, I know it's a total cop-out answer, but the Rodgers needs to bounce back. The offense needs to bounce back. But at the same time, if Pettine doesn't deliver defensively, he only has himself to blame, because I think for the first time in years, the Packers defense has the horses to have a good D.
Paul, great stuff, and we'll chat again later in the week, man. Appreciate it, okay?
Hey, did you chime in on this Mike Daniels thing from Tom Silverstein yet?
You know, yesterday? We talked a little bit about it yesterday. You know, and my opinion is this, is that Mike Daniels, because for those who don't know, they were talking about Mike Daniels possibly or probably not being renewed next year or brought back. So should they take the opportunity to trade him away? And I said, look, if you believe that Montrevious Adams and Lowry and all these D linemen that they have now are true football players, then you deal them. But he's the only guy that's kind of like, short of Kenny Clark, that's kind of like that football player, that nasty. That the rest of the guys you brought in are athletes that are unproven. At least Mike Daniels has been somewhat proven. So if you believe that your guys are proven and they're ready to go, you trade them and you get something for them. Otherwise, stop it. You're getting rid of football players versus some of these guys you're trying to kind of put square pegs in the round holes again, you know? And I go back to the conversation years ago when I was doing the postgame show with Brian Noble, and Ron Wolf comes up and said, give me football players every damn day of the week over the guys that have great intangibles, athleticism, and speed, because they're not football players. And that Mike Daniels, to me, is a football player.
Well, it's very clear, Bill, and I'm wondering how this is going to, you know, sit with you over the coming years. Brian Gutekunst, it's very, very, very clear, has the complete opposite strategy that Ron Wolf had, that what you're talking about.
Right.
And that you believe in. The Packers are all about athletes now. And, of course, they're athletes who play football. But I think if you're going to use your Ron Wolf quote that you just mentioned, it's interesting. I mean, Kenny Clark was a wrestler. Mike Daniels was a wrestler. These are guys who can really win leverage battles but aren't going to light the world on fire athletically. Mm-hmm. And every player that Gutekunst is prioritizing, both in free agency and the draft, for the most part, are mega athletes.
Right.
That they're kind of hoping they can groom into being elite football players. So, again, this is why we're in a whole new world, a whole new regime. And I'll admit, I was really surprised to see an article come out, you know, with a headline. And I read the whole thing, of course. But should the Packers trade Mike Daniels? I was like, whoa.
I know.
They should do that double take
real quick.
Unless it's a second-round pick or something. But, I mean, like, boy, that's – yeah. But they're going to have to build – they're going to have to pay a gob of money to Kenny Clark next year. And I wonder if that's part of the preparation for that. Because Kenny Clark is going to get – boy – 4 years, $70 million, something like that. Yeah, he's gonna get 15 to 18 a year starting next year, and I wonder if that enters into the equation. But anyway, we can talk more about it soon, I'm sure.
All right, Paul, appreciate it, buddy.
See you, Bill.
Talk to you soon. There you go, Paul Lemig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.